This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. This hour, this segment, we will be giving away tickets to the rodeo for Journey, March the 14th. All right, so Drew Doherty, Seth, has his mock draft roundup 3.0. 45 total mockaroos out here. And we do one every day at 7:45. Today we did one that had Emeka Ogbuka, who is the number two most drafted player to the Texans right now. It's interesting. Tyler Booker is the runaway favorite right now to get drafted by the Texans at 9. Do you feel like there's a better chance Tyler Booker is gone by 25 or the Texans pass on him at 25?
Oh, that's a good either or. Is there a better chance that he's gone by 25?
Obviously, a ton of variables in that.
So in either of these scenarios, the Texans don't get Tyler Booker.
Right.
I think that Tyler Booker didn't test well at the combine. But I think he did it at a position where at guard, people aren't as concerned about that as maybe offensive tackle. You know, one of the interesting analytical things that's come out is the position that's most highly correlated to being a good pro if you have this at the combine is offensive tackles 40-yard dash. There is guys like Lane Johnson and some of these guys. I think it speaks to, okay, if they're freaks of nature that can run that fast and they're that big, all right, yeah. Like, it doesn't, the 40-yard dash doesn't correlate directly at all to offensive line play. And I've always wondered, like, why do you even have these guys run? Okay, well, this is where your analytics are good. They take a blind spot or something you wouldn't expect. And if you're freakishly good as an athlete, then it tends to carry over a little bit in general to playing offensive tackle. Guard, I don't think they worry about it as much. So I think his film versus high caliber defensive competition still matters more than anything else. But maybe because he's not a super stud athlete, he's not a guy that you want to take at guard, especially in the top half of the first round. So I think it's, I still think it's more likely he's not available.
I do too.
At 25.
I do too. I think the Alabama pedigree. I think the way he didn't test real well at the combine, but as you pointed out, like, he doesn't play a position where if he's not this massively explosive vertical leaper or 40-yard dash runner, it's going to hurt him. He's an interior offensive lineman. Man, you bring up Will Johnson, who's not on the radar at all for the Texans. Have you watched him much at all out of LSU, or is he kind of a guy who hasn't been?
I haven't watched
yet.
Him a bunch.
Yeah, I mean, there wouldn't be much reason to do hardcore because he'll be long gone by the time the Texans pick. But, every time that kid talks, man, I just love listening to him talk. And he ran, like a 4.98 40-yard dash. I feel like if tackle were a position of need for the Texans, that he would be a guy the Texans would go after. Maybe not with the same draft capital gusto they did with Will Anderson, where they traded a second and a first to move up 9 spots to get him. But, man, he feels like a D'Amico Ryans kind of guy.
Every week, every day, really, I say, you know what, I'm going to dig in hardcore on draft prospects today. And then I start watching for about 5 minutes. And I'm like, I hate this so much. I just hate it. So that's where I am on that.
Yeah.
I've been looking at the guys that the Texans likely will take.
That's what I figured.
Part of it is I hate offensive linemen specifically.
Well, you hate
them. I really do.
Personally.
I really
hate
them.
Yeah.
Some of my good friends are offensive linemen.
And you hate them.
And yet I hate them. Yeah. They know that there's a part of them that I despise and loathe.
Yeah. They know.
It's just I can't keep the, as I'm trying to keep see my blood pressure below 120 over 80. I get tested. I get tested when I watch these guys.
I get it. I get it. Hey, so Tyler Booker 9, Emeka Ebuka 6, Luther Burden III, who's the wide receiver out of Missouri, and Josh Simmons, the offensive lineman from Ohio State, tied at 5 mock drafts that they've been taking out of 45 for the Texans.
So I think when it comes to Ebuka or Burden, I think the appeal for Burden is, man, all right, this guy is super twitchy. And when you want to put speed on the field, then hell yeah, this is what we want. Whereas with Ebuka, when the selling point is more of the undefinable traits, the leadership, the professionalism, the stuff that you can see on film but doesn't pop is, all right, he reads coverages, he understands route running, he understands a lot of the finer aspects of the game. It's still not something that you get super, super, super excited about.
Yeah.
And I think that's where I feel like more people are all in on Burden as a fan base, that because it's just more exciting to watch.
Here, okay, so the way you lay that out and the way you describe it, now you laid it out perfectly, and especially in light of the Ebuka mock draft we did earlier in the show where we played audio from Mel Kiper and we played audio from Daniel Jeremiah. The very first thing the two of them said, along with Joel Klatt in writing for the actual mock draft we did, professionalism, pros pro. And you kind of laid out, like, sort of just now, like, the stuff you doesn't pop on film necessarily. If I were a Texans fan and I was looking to get a little nervous about this description, I would say it sounds like you're describing John Metchie to me right now.
Yeah. And that, like, a bigger version of John Metchie.
Yeah.
Or, like, a more polished version of John Metchie.
Yeah.
I think that's the hesitancy that I could see people justifiably having.
Yes.
That, all right, man, that's at a position where you can be a hell of a guy, but ultimately you got to get separation, and that's the scary part. You'd almost, when you, especially if you're talking about a guy that might play in the slot a lot, you want a twitchy dude. And if you don't see that twitchiness, then all right, the character stuff is awesome and everything, but I'm not looking for a Sunday school teacher. I'm looking for a wide receiver.
Whereas when I see descriptions of Matthew Golden, and I watch him in games,
yeah,
I'm like, wow, he looks like a bigger Tank Dell. You know?
He's got a lot of dog to him,
yeah,
too. He's come up big in big moments.
Yeah.
He's going to win the contested catches. It feels like he's got a bit of a clutch gene.
Yeah.
And if I had to choose between Golden and Ebuka, Ebuka would get the good guy award, but not that Matthew Golden's a bad guy. It's just that Ibuka's got all this positive PR in so many fronts that I would probably prefer Matthew Golden.
Do you see Johnny Harris has the Texans taking Nick Imemori,
the
freaky safety that you were all over yesterday on the show from South Carolina.
The one thing I've seen about Imemori, that he seems to be kind of, it sounds like he's inconsistent in his swarminess. And I wonder, but it sounds like he's very capable of being swarmy. So we should talk to John about him at some point.
Yeah.
Because that's obviously something the team cares about a lot. And you just wonder, okay, why is there inconsistency? John can watch multiple games of the college cut-ups and everything, where I see some of the cut-ups and the highlights. I'm like, this guy's a dog.
Mm-hmm.
But the reports are otherwise. So.
Yeah. And Johnny talks to a lot of people, too, when he goes to the Senior Bowl and the Combine. Like, he talks to a lot of people that get give you the scoop on guys like this. So he's drafted once in these mock drafts, Imemori, the safety out of South Carolina. And it's by the great John Harris. So there you go.
And he's got those freaky physical skills that we're talking about.
Yes, he does.
I like it's hard not to imagine Kalen Bullock out there as a deep center fielder and Imemori flying around and doing a lot of that fun box safety type of stuff.
Dude.
Because he's a, what is he, 6'3", 220?
Yes.
A big dude.
Can you imagine just like all studs in the secondary? That would be so badass. That'd be awesome. I mean, they're really almost there right now. Text message, Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. Already doubtful for a Tank Dell return, but if they draft Luther Burden, that signals the end of Tank. I don't agree with that.
No, there's no way in hell that they should be looking at Tank Dell for a return this year.
Yep.
And if it is, it'll be a great story. It's not impossible or anything. But realistically, they can't look at it and think, okay, we're going to have Tank Dell this year. And then they can't know exactly what's going to happen with him in the future. So this year's draft, I would say, has zero bearing on anything for the future for Tank Dell. Like they they have to objectively look at it like, man, Tank Dell's got a hell of a long road in front of him, and we don't know what's going to happen. Maybe down the road he ends up being his same self again, but they just can't look at it that way. So I think to read into Tank Dell's personal future, long-term, it's not going to have anything to do with what the Texans feel about it right now. It's just way too early in the process.
Yeah, I mean, this guy's saying that this is like drafting Luther Burden is basically just burying Tank. It's a death sentence for Tank, and I don't agree with that. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Hey, let's give away those rodeo tickets. Let's get you to go see Journey. Oh, yeah, good choice, Ben. Good choice, DJ Ben. 713-572-4610. That's the phone number. Caller number 5. Wins a 4-pack of tickets to see Journey live at the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo on Friday, March the 14th. Call now, 713-572-4610. Be caller number 5, and you're on your way. Keep listening all day for more chances to win rodeo tickets. It's a Rodeo Ticket Tuesday on Sports Radio 610. One of the NFL people who was in the crosshairs of Payne and Pendergast last week got a vote of confidence from one of his former employers. We will play that and discuss coming up next.